Being rejected can be a devastating thing. Even a small rejection can leave its mark. I was in a line of boys at school in PE being picked for cross-country teams. It got to the last pick and I was still in the line with one other chap, expecting them to say, "Oh, you have him, we'll have him, and let's get on with it." But they didn't. One of the captains said, "Do we have to have him? He'll wreck the scores. We'll leave it there." I must admit, I didn't know what they meant about scores, but I knew I'd been rejected by a group of my peers, and it leaves its mark. But so much more so if we've been rejected by a parent or a child or a spouse or other family member or a friend or colleague whom we trusted. Any sort of rejection is hard, and some rejections can be devastating. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows what it's like. He was rejected. Even as the Bible tells us, he was called, born to be rejected. So this is the end of our little January mini-series. And we've gone through Jesus born to die, Jesus born to suffer. Jesus and Luther born in turmoil and now born to be rejected. And in a way, this is also an introduction to our next series in Mark's Gospel, which starts in a week or two, from chapters 9 and 10. Because today we're starting in that section of Mark's Gospel. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31 and following, Peter has just, it might be good if you follow through actually, it's helpful just to stick with it. In the church Bible, which should be somewhere near you in the back of a seat, do take one and turn to New Testament, page 44. New Testament's at the back of the book, page 44, you'll see that it's Mark chapter 8, and if you look in amongst the sentences where the verse numbers are, we're looking for verse 31, that sort of section, because in the previous section, Peter's just acknowledged Jesus as the long-promised Messiah, God's King for all people for all time, and so now, at this big turning point in the gospel, Jesus resets his sights on Jerusalem. And what does he say? Verse 31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. So the plan going forward: suffering, rejection, death, resurrection. Being rejected is part of the plan. Being rejected is part of Jesus' calling. He's very clear. Just four things he talks about here as he looks forward: great suffering, being rejected, death, and resurrection. Rejection is one of those. We might say he was born to be rejected. Am I overstating it? I don't think so. If you've been following this series and studied Isaiah 53, from the sermon a couple of weeks ago, you'll have seen in Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. So Jesus, fulfilling the role of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, who is central to God's offer of salvation for all, and it says, he was to be rejected. That's part of the role. So now another question. Why? Why is rejection part of the role of the suffering servant who brings salvation? Why would the rejection of God's King for all help bring salvation to so many? Why? Or how? How might the rejection of Jesus help the peoples of this world to be saved? I think for help in understanding this, we need to go forward a couple of chapters in Mark's Gospel. So if you're there in Mark's Gospel, turn forward to chapter 12. Beginning of chapter 12, it's there on page 49. This was our second reading. And it's the parable of the tenants in the vineyard. I'll just read the first 8 verses again, remind us of the parable. Jesus began to speak to them in parables. Here goes. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat and others they killed. He still had one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. Now, two things to look at as we look at this parable. First is the content of the story. That's what we've just heard, most of the content. We also need to look at the context a bit later. Now, the content is of a vineyard owner, story of a vineyard owner who entrusted the harvest to others, his tenants. And every now and then, as you do if you're a landlord, he sent someone to them to remind them it belonged to him and he wanted a share of the harvest. That was the rent. But each time he sent someone, the tenants abused them, beat them, even killed them, certainly sent them away empty-handed. Now, the vineyard owner was amazingly patient, but he wasn't going to take it for much longer. He decided to send his only son. Surely they would respect the one and only son, he thought, but no, they didn't respect him. They rejected him too. And he was seized and killed and thrown out. Let's pick up the parable in verse 9. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read the scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. So the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Rejected, you see the word there. Rejected, that's what this is about, rejection, this parable. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Which, that whole little section is a quote from Psalm 118, verses 21 to 23. But it is amazing. It is amazing that the rejected one becomes the foundation of God's plan for the salvation of the world. It is amazing. It's how God does things. And it's worth remembering if you know the pain of rejection. The rejection does not mean we're written off, not in God's eyes. For Jesus, it was part of his plan from of old. The rejection of Jesus was a launch pad for the work that really matters, salvation. and it's offered to all the people of the world. So that is the content of the parable. Now, in order to understand it a bit more, let's look at the context. Because just after the parable, verse 12, the listeners realized Jesus had told it against them. That's what they said. When they realized he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him. But they feared the crowd, so they left him and went away. So now, who were those listeners? And what was the point of this parable that had wound them up? Well, we see it in the section at the end of the previous chapter, verses 27 to 33 of Mark chapter 11. The listeners, can you see verse 27, were the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They're the ones that came to Jesus and first of all asked him a question. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them? So the issue behind the parable is authority. And really, it was a trick question. Jesus realized it. It was a trick question to get him into trouble, to get Jesus to claim God's authority so that the religious leaders could then arrange to arrest him for blasphemy. Jesus knew their tricks and wasn't playing at this stage. So in verse 29, Jesus says to them, I will ask you one question, answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of a human origin? Answer me. So if we were playing playground games, and that's what Jesus is alluding to, accusing them of, how about this? I'll answer your question if you answer mine. And in verse 31, we see when they were put on the spot with a difficult question, the religious leaders didn't have the guts to stick out their necks. Verse 31, they argued with one another, if we say from heaven, he'll say, then why didn't you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, well, they were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as truly a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. So just thinking about the context of the parable of the vineyard tenants again, the religious leaders rejected Jesus' authority, his claim to speak for God, his claim to be God. That's what they rejected. And if they are rejecting Jesus' claim to be God's voice, they are rejecting God. It's just a plain rejection of God's authority. And that's actually the oldest and best description of what sin is. Thinking of Adam and Eve, the first humans did not eat an apple. They ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve decided she should have authority to decide what was good and bad for herself instead of God. And Adam went along with it. And humans have continued to be sinful ever since. But God is God. And it's his job to decide what's right and wrong and us to accept his authority, to receive his right and wrong. But what do we humans do? We reject God's right and wrong and his authority to say what's right and wrong, and we replace it with our own version. It's a rejection of the rightful authority of God, and it is a rejection of God. That's the point. Now, one of the reasons Jesus was rejected is to help us realize that we reject God. Most people don't think they're rejecting God. We're getting along fine. God's not bothering me. I'm not bothering him. We're on good terms. No. 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 That's not how a relationship with the living God works. No, that's not how we need to be if we want to be responding rightly to the God who loves us and has spoken. And how can people know this? How can we realize that doing our own thing in our own way is rejecting God's love and mercy? How can we get it? That following human society's rights and wrongs is equal to rejecting God's word and rejecting God himself. Well, the way to learn is by looking at Jesus. He was rejected. His authority was rejected. Oh, yes. So if I do at all similar, I'm rejecting him. And if I'm rejecting Jesus, I'm rejecting God. So only now I might realize, maybe only because Jesus was born to be rejected, can I realize that I'm rejecting him too, and realize I better do something about it. His rejection makes my acceptance more likely with God. Jesus, born to be rejected, so that we might see the state of our hearts and turn and be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that rejection is such a hard thing. And Lord, we worship you and thank you for the rejection which you take as the giver of all good things, which you take, Lord, as the Savior of the world. Thank you for bearing that rejection and still reaching out to those who reject you. Please help us, Lord, to be those who turn from our rejection and accept you and your authority. For your name's sake, amen.